All right, we're live. All right, hey everybody, welcome back. I'm with Jeremy today from Weed Technics, and I've just been parked up on this cliff, and I noticed a ute pull up, and it was council, and I was like, oh no, we're gonna have pesticides being sprayed again. So I kind of cruised over just to have a bit of a look what was going on. Met some of the local dudes, and Jeremy is basically created, is it patented as well,
the technology? Yeah, patented, yep.
Right, so we've got an Australian technology which is patented, and what it is, it's using steam, so it's H2O water, to kill like weeds and pesky plants, rather than using pesticides. And as you know, recently we had that big court case with Monsanto, where they're up for hundreds of millions of dollars, because glyphosate has been proven to be cancer-causing now, so it's just a matter of time until basically councils catch up and more people come out with these diseases. So, Jeremy, do you want to give us a little bit of a rundown on this machine and what it does, and you know, where you thought up the idea, and how people can get in contact with you to get them into their councils or onto their farms as well, so we're not spraying pesticides into the rivers?
Well, I'd be happy to do that, Nate. And it's just the way the stars have aligned that you've ended up on top of this this beautiful outlook here is pretty amazing. I'm absolutely wrapped because I'm on Stradbroke Island, and I actually started killing weeds with steam in about 1996.
Wow.
When I was running a landscape maintenance company, and there was a contract with Leichhardt Council in Sydney, probably the first council in the world to go non-chemical.
Wow.
And you know, they need to be applauded for that, because they're still doing it, and they started in the mid 90s.
Good Leichhardt Council,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, absolutely, Leichhardt Council. Part of the Inner West Council now.
Yep.
And, I was pretty determined to win that contract as a competitive landscape maintenance contractor. So I made a steamer, and, to be honest, it didn't work. Steam, just, there's not enough vapour. It's just vapour, it rises.
Yep.
I was able to kill a weed. Took about 4 seconds, though, and when you've got kilometres and kilometres of road and curbs and gutters and cracks to do.
Yep.
So then I tried hot water, and that was really expensive, needed a really big truck, and it didn't really put the temperature out hot enough. It was, by the time it had boiled in the boiler and then boiled all the way down the line and then cooled down, it was being delivered in really large literages,
right,
but at quite cool temperatures, so about 90 degrees.
Because the guys are just spraying. If you guys check out the feed, I've got a few photos and little videos of them doing the spraying before, and it actually looks like the weeds, they're brown, they're dead straight away. You know, it's not like it's going to do it slowly, it's actually dead. And there's also like a long metal thing which is pushing into the ground, which gets to the roots, so you can do bigger plants as well. So I'll cut you off there.
No, that's all right. No, because it's really good to have the observations, because what you're actually seeing there is the development of how to get the boiling water at the plant. And the Quandamooka Rangers here, their machine has two hoses that are 60 metres long. So we can work 60 metres away from the boiler and still be getting, we're delivering what's called saturated steam and boiling water at 100 degrees,
right,
which just explodes the cells on contact, and the leaves just wilt. And so some leaves, as you saw them, they turn black within sort of minutes. It looks really impressive. Other things like cooch and kikuyu, they go dark, they sort of go bright green, then they go dark, and then within a day or two, they're completely strawed off. They just,
Wow.
So we've got some schools districts in the United States and California using it to do their line marking on sports fields, so they don't have to use glyphosate or paints on their sports fields. It's really taking off after 20 years.
Wow.
We're starting to get some traction.
Talk about perseverance, and what a time to be doing it. You know, people are waking up everywhere and realizing that we have to do something smarter than spraying poisons which are running off, because these poisons, these glyphosates, these chemicals, these Roundups, whatever they are, they're not soluble, so the rain just washes them straight off down into the rivers. From the rivers they head into the ocean. So what's happening, we're seeing fish which we're seeing male fish turning into females, we're seeing this whole estrogen mimicker hormone disrupting process which is happening, and that's also playing out in the human family as well, and we won't go into that topic today. So this is an option which is a transition on to something that actually works. It's Australian designed, and they're using it here on Stradbroke Island. He was teaching some of the rangers today how to use this machine. and just the ins and outs of it. And it's a pretty impressive machine. It just basically sits on the back of, you know, your average four-wheel drive on a dual axle box trailer, and it's got a big tank of water, and they're literally blasting all the weeds around here. So they're using just water to kill off weeds. So for people out there, have a talk to your council. We are going to see some big shifts happening hopefully soon, but nothing's going to change if you don't pursue it and you push it. You really need to call up the council and go, hey, there's options now where you can buy this machine and get taught how to use it. So that would be the outcome we want to see, right? Everyone just using steam all around the place.
There's been a huge upsurge in the amount of inquiries that we're getting from councils. So to be fair, we've got 34 councils around Australia using our machines to a greater or lesser extent. Some have gone, you know, they've taken the bold step of going, not using chemicals anymore.
Right.
Now that's you know, we're really in a transition time now because there's so few technologies, and we've had this really fast race to the bottom of you know, with an addiction of low cost chemicals,
right,
which has made it really cheap to kill weeds. But all we're doing is leaving toxins, and there's all these side effects.
Yep.
So now we've got to go through a point of through a phase of transition where the budgets get realigned to what it takes to be stewards of the landscape.
Totally, yep.
We've been in this situation where whilst the councils say they're looking after the landscape, if you're putting toxins on the landscape, we're not being good stewards.
Yep.
And if your soils aren't growing plants because they're full of toxins, then, you know, it's, to me, it's a worry. So what I like to do is work people through a 9-step phase towards being holistic land managers, being able to look after the land and manage vegetation, and remembering it's our landscape or our environment, not the environment. We're part of it.
Yeah, and along the lines of saying that they're spraying poisons, like my dog, I pulled over at a truck stop about 6 months ago, and he got out and started eating grass around the truck stop, and had just been sprayed with poisons.
Yep.
And I walked through and it touched my leg, and I got a rash, and I was like, fuck, what's that about? And then I went to my kinesiologist so you can do the muscle testing, and my dog kept shaking his head. He was constantly shaking his head everywhere because of the chemicals that had gone into his brain. Yeah. And this kinesiologist tested it down to, he goes, he's got glyphosate poisoning, and he tested it down to where I pulled over, and I was like, that's where I got a rash on my leg. You know what I mean? So our animals are walking around the poles, the children are playing around playgrounds. It's really old technology, and it's rubbish. You know, we have gone for the cheap and nasty and fast thing, and now we're seeing massively that all these cheap processes we're doing have actually worked in reverse. And yes, it is going to cost more money, and it is going to take a little bit more time to do sustainable practices, just like people who do composting toilets. You know, I mean, you have to look after your shit rather than flushing out into the oceans, and the chemicals we use to break that rubbish down is actually worse than the feces and excrement in itself. So we are going to be responsible for taking action in a way that, yeah, okay, it might take a little bit longer and might cost a little bit more, but we're going to see the next generation of children and people are going to be coming into a playground, into a world where we're not going to be getting so much disease, hopefully, and destruction of our native environment. So
I don't think it costs more. I think it's a different cost.
Okay.
What it does is create green jobs. What we've done, I'm a bit old, so when I first started landscaping, the councils had quite a number of people working in the gardening department. And over the years, all those jobs have been replaced by what they say, more and more efficiency, okay, which means more and more chemicals are being used to actually replace jobs. Now, that's not being good stewards of the land. We can create local jobs, local employment, which is healthy, it's connection with the earth, and it keeps the money local. So whilst it appears to have a higher cost, it doesn't have the cost of the off-target damage. It doesn't have the cost of the herbicide resistance. It doesn't have the cost of the poisoning of our animals and our pets and of our children. And it actually creates a much lower risk occupation for those who are stewards of the landscapes. And that's the choice that the Quandamooka Rangers have made here on Stradbroke Island.
Right. Wow. See, this is the amazing thing. When you have smaller communities, there's more conscious-minded people there because everyone knows the impact it's making. When we live in big cities like Sydney or New York and places like that, everyone's walking past each other. Stuff just goes on. and we don't feel like fully connected to what's happening, like it's not affecting us, it's someone else's life, when actually we are in a global, not only a global community, but a global nature infrastructure where everything's connected. Like you pollute the oceans here, you're polluting the oceans in China. Whatever's going on with their air pollution in China, it's coming over here as well. So the sooner we understand that that is the case, that we are all completely responsible for how things work, this will be the end of it, you know? And I'm really, I think the timing now is really good. These court cases are landmark, you know, really absolutely. Big. And I think that they were saying that...
At last, the truth is out.
yes, I mean, the conspiracy nuts have been once again proven right, as it always seems to happen 5, 6, 7 years later. They put the information out there, they get ridiculed, and then it becomes fact and becomes normal. But, okay, the thing I like about this is it's an Australian-owned invention. So if we can get this around the world, that's putting money back into Australia, and we can be a precedent on what other countries should do, because... This was a pretty quick operation, and I'm sure we'll meet up again. I'll show you guys live how it works. But it literally was like a big box, a steamer that was going on, steaming it back and forth, rubbing around, and then a long kind of gurney looking thing, which they were just putting into the ground and blasting the roots. Now, are you guys thinking of doing anything like, say, you know, how you see those big tractors that go down the side of the road and they have a huge slasher? You could also have a massive, you know, big scale one where it could be blasting the side of the road like that, you know? Like
what you saw today was the, we've got a range of five different sizes.
Right.
And you saw the fourth largest, and we've got six. We've got another two that are larger. So we're working with over 200 organic farmers around Australia who've already bought our machines.
Okay.
It's already saving them costs. So if we can make organic farmers more competitive, it just makes it so much easier for people to either transition to organics or be herbicide free. You know, it's all good movement in the right direction. Just healthier food, better soil.
And so the small one, you said this is quite a large machine. Is there like more of a household unit that you sell, or is it
you
not
know,
quite
it's really
there?
Difficult to get the small household unit because volume matters. And you know, there are some small steamers available, but you know, steam rises, it's really slow.
You can
boil the kettle and pour it on the cracks and crevices.
Yep.
In my own garden, I tend to hand weed.
I mean, that's how ridiculous we've gotten that people have a little garden which is like 10 meters by 10 meters. That's most people's garden in their backyard. You can get out there and smash that in a couple of hours and you're done for the whole season. The fact that we're actually getting out there and spraying on there, it's like, how freaking lazy are you, man, you know? That's not connection with your garden. That's not connection with nature. The garden wants you to get in there. Like, there's little microbes that actually are in the soil. So when you're walking around barefoot doing your gardening, it's actually going into the bottom of your feet, and it's making you feel good. And it's like the plant saying, hey, come in and garden with me. Come in and play with me, you know? Cut the leaves and play with the soil. So this is a reconnection to nature in a certain sense, you know? Getting rid of the old practices, the old energy, the old money, not supporting companies that are definitely not supporting our planet, because DDT was the cause of like polio, you know. Agent Orange is just glyphosate, which has been wrapped up in a new name. So this is the same company that poisoned off Vietnam, same company which created polio in all these countries. And you look up DDT and you look up polio, look when polio came in and went down. It's the introduction of DDT every time. So, and that's, you know, that's pesticides, what we're spraying, what we're eating. If you think that you can eat pesticides and not have some sort of problem later on in life, you're kidding yourself. You might get through 5 or 10 years, but it's accumulative. These things accumulate in the body over time. They start blocking up the colon. They get into the blood-brain barrier and they stop things working. Then we have an excess over here and a deficiency over here, and we have this basically symbiosis going out into a corruption of the human body. So... what was the name of the company and how can they get in contact with you? And let's give a bit of a plug before you go.
Yeah, please. We're talking through Facebook Live. You can go over to Weed Technics, WWEDTECHNICS. I think it's on the t-shirt here. So we'd love to, we put lots of information up there. I'm not quite as savvy at getting it out there live, but I do get to some great places and I like to post about it. Best part of my job is actually because I'm the inventor, is getting out and seeing the machines used and seeing it make a difference. And you know, I'm in North America a lot. I'm all over Australia, and we'd love to create more green jobs and have it used in a lot more places.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And I'm thinking we should do a Zoom and chuck this on YouTube at some point. So we might even do that, organise you with a Zoom account and get you on there and do a full, you know, 45 minutes.
I'm on Zoom.
On there. Oh,
yep.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yep.
And thank you so much, guys, for the comments. As you all know, I've been off the internet for a good month or two. Haven't really been feeling like using it. So thanks for coming on, checking things out. And I will finish off the interview on water, which will be happening next week, on structured water and a few other things. So yeah, share this, guys. Tell your local council members. Get onto the website and share it. Send it to people in America, different countries. Don't just think it's going to start here in Australia. And maybe India, who's a country who picks it up, and then it starts to go viral. We just need to get the information in the hands of those people who want change. So thank you very much for
thanks, Nate.
Having the interview.
Great to meet you. What a fortuitous event.
Thank you, and I'll see you guys shortly.